everybody.
Welcome back to Mile Higher Podcast, episode 88. And we are so excited for this episode because we are talking about a haunted place that we've actually been.
Yes, first-hand experience.
Yes, we do. We have some first-hand experience. Not much, but a little bit. And today we are talking about the Stanley Hotel that is located here in Estes Park, Colorado.
It's probably the most haunted location in all of Colorado, I would say, or at least one of them.
Definitely.
It's extremely old hotel. It's been around since the beginning of really civilization, you know, modern civilization here in the West. Yeah. In Colorado.
Yeah. It's a really good story. And we have some great clips and some, and a really cool update to tell you guys as well. A little sneak preview. But before we get into our
topics for this week, we have some Mile Higher updates for you guys.
Yes, we do.
So as you know, we had to switch our setups, and you know, or if you're just tuning in now, we don't normally sit in front of the green screen. It's not our preferred setup, so
which we did this for a really long time. When we first started our podcast, we sat in front of a green screen, and so a lot of you actually like this and have been commenting about how much you love it. We hate it,
because it's a big pain. Like to do a green screen, right? You got to have all these lighting and everything all perfectly.
We keep messing up the lighting, and we're not in a studio right now. We're in our basement. So when we moved, we ended up deciding to build a studio outside of our house so that we have a separate workspace. And that way, you know, we don't have guests coming in our house and we can kind of just have our own separate space that's dedicated for the podcast. Turns out this has been, it's been a major challenge trying to get this studio up.
It's not easy to just build a building because we're like constructing a building from the ground up and you got to jump through all these hoops in order to do it. So it's been delayed because it was supposed to be done by now.
We'll explain what happened because I showed on our Instagram account, if you follow us at Mile Higher Podcast, which you should, there's always good updates on there. But I showed that we were starting to build the studio weeks ago, like in September. And then we literally had the materials out there. They were doing construction and then we got a major halt on the project.
Because
we were told we couldn't put it there.
Because it was too close to like a 100-year floodplain. It's kind of like a drainage ditch that just happens to run through our land. So we can't build right next to it. You have to build a certain amount of space, you know, space away from it.
And 75 feet away from all sides of it. So pretty much our, almost our whole lot
was out. A lot of it,
there was like one spot left that it could actually work.
So we moved to that spot, but then it's just been the process. You got to go back through and they got to reapprove
it. And they take so long. So it's taken a really long time. We were hoping to definitely have been in a studio by now. That was the plan, to only do like a couple weeks of recording here. But, you know, with construction, you always should assume it's going to take a lot longer.
Delayed, but so, we broke ground today.
Yeah, we did.
Which is good.
Again, we showed it on the Instagram. We're really excited. So hopefully we get it, you know, up and running as a studio pretty quick, because tons of you have asked us, like, does this mean you're not going to have guests anymore? Or like, are you going to stay in this spot? And like, we don't want to have guests right now, obviously, because we're sitting at a card table with a like little cloth over it in our basement. And there are pets all around us and life. So we don't really have a good space. The shadowing has been crazy on our green screen. I don't know if you guys have noticed, but we've been kind of just
making
making it work. So,
yeah, I'm excited, though, because we're going to elevate things. We're going to go a mile higher with this podcast.
Yes, we are. It's going to be awesome.
It's going to be even better than I think our last house was.
Yeah, definitely. Our last studio.
Actual studio, and integrate some more effects and sounds and just make this much better than it is. So,
yeah, I'm really excited. Oh, and to clarify, last week we were talking about how our house is older than our last house was. Just wanted to say, we weren't saying the house was like old, because there were so many comments that are like, you guys say you live in an old house, but I live in the house was built in the 1800s or something. We weren't saying we live in like a super old house.
Right.
Our house is like 20, 25 years old.
Right.
So yeah, we were just saying it's older than the one we had. That's what we meant.
The other little piece of news, though, is that we are completely relaunching our merch store.
Yes.
Haven't been.
Whole new thing.
Love that you guys loved all the stuff we put in it. Mm-hmm. It just ended up logistically not being the best situation for
like
us.
Like on the back end.
Didn't have the customization of the products that we didn't quite want. And so we found a new merch provider and we're actually relaunching our store with all new items.
Yep. New designs.
On October 31st, Halloween, we're launching.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, there's going to be some really cool stuff in there. Stuff you guys have been asking for a while. So I'm pretty excited to unveil that in the next couple of weeks. So
That's also been a long process as well. things take time, you guys. Imagine that.
Yeah, everything takes
time. I'm a very impatient person, so I hate waiting for things.
Yeah, I know, me too.
Feels like this has been the works forever.
Let's get it done now. Why can't we do it now?
I know.
But, you know, it's just how life goes sometimes. But anyways, let's go ahead and jump into this week's news topics. But before we do, I quickly want to thank our sponsor for today, Native Calm, Third Love, and Upstart. Thank you guys for supporting the show. But yeah, let's go ahead and just jump right into this first story. This is kind of crazy, but there was a huge worldwide sting of the largest dark web child sex abuse marketplace run by Bitcoin.
Yep.
And this is just like really fucked up news. And the fact that we're finding out that there's this marketplace out there, which I mean, we know that this stuff exists out there. This really sick, evil shit, but
I don't think a lot of people really do get the gravity of how big it is though, and how common and how it works underground,
well, how can
secretly,
you? Right.
You know, not literally underground, but online.
Well, I think it's hard for us to wrap our heads around it because we just don't see anything like that ever, which is a good thing, but the fact that it exists out there and there is ways to access it and people are, you know, a lot of people are
on the dark web, right?
Yeah, it's on darknet. So it's on the dark web is where they're doing this.
And can you kind of explain that like briefly? Like, what's the dark web for those of us that struggle to understand this, how there's levels of the internet?
Yeah. So there's just like, there's the internet, the world wide web that we all access. Mm-hmm. But then there's other layers to the internet that we don't have access to. And one of those layers is the darknet, which is, you have to use a special client in order to log into it. And it happens to be this anonymous part of the internet where it's very hard to track people and things and sites. And so a lot of criminals and, you know, nefarious people go on the darknet and they take advantage of being able to be anonymous. And they do really fucked up shit, like opening up a marketplace that shows videos. It was like the site was called Welcome to Video. It's just a bunch of crazy videos of illegal sex acts that committed against children, toddlers, mm-hmm. and infants, which is just so
trading media,
so terrible,
arranging things. Yeah. And this is again why I love working with Thorn. I feel like the work that they're doing is so crucial, fighting this stuff online and finding new technology, because you know the bad guys get a hold of the good technology just as quick as the good guys nowadays. You have to be like on it, and it's amazing what they're able to do as far as tracking this stuff down.
What's crazy about this whole darknet story, though, is that Bitcoin, you know, we've heard a lot about Bitcoin and how a lot of people made a ton of money off of it.
Yeah.
Remember that like not that long ago. But the thing with Bitcoin is it allows you to like purchase anonymously and stuff. But we're finding out that that's not really the case, because that's actually how investigators, which was a bunch of different agencies all over the world. There's a bunch of countries, UK, US, Germany, Korea, I mean, just an assortment of different countries that all collaborated to that are trying to at least police the dark net, because the amount of black market and just crazy shit that's happening on there is truly scary to think about, you know, like, so they actually were able to trace through Bitcoin transactions back to the actual people and arrest them.
That's insane.
That were involved with this marketplace.
I'm confused. How are they able to do that, though?
Some computer whizzes, man. Like,
wow.
It definitely.
So there's
is,
nothing private nowadays.
There's really not.
Which is good. I mean, I'm glad that they're able to find them for sure. But yeah, you definitely hear that Bitcoin is supposed to make your purchases private and supposed to be this like secure currency.
Right. Well, I mean, law enforcement works with a lot of these companies that are making these types of new technologies because they have to have a way to police it in some way. You know, they can't completely be shut out. As much as people think that it's anonymous, it's really not. Because there's. Just like there's bad hackers, there's good hackers as well. Like there's good guys that are doing hacking and trying to gather information, obviously like in the intelligence agencies and stuff. So just as there is bad guys that are hacking and whatnot. So
yeah,
it really goes both ways, but yeah, you're not safe anywhere. And you know, if you're doing that kind of stuff, you're going to get caught.
Yeah.
And that's just how it is. I mean, it's a good thing too, because we got to get this stuff off the internet, period.
Like, 100%.
All right. So the second story that I have is about a man named Samuel Little, and he's being declared as the worst serial killer in U.S. history, which is crazy.
Yeah, really intense.
So Samuel Little, who's 79 years old right now, he's currently serving 3 consecutive life sentences in California for murder. And last year he had actually confessed that he had killed over 90 people. Well, the FBI has been working on this case and trying to confirm, you know, what he confessed. And they've now verified that at least 50 of those deaths actually happened. And
I'm sure a lot more
which
did.
Which bumps him up as the most like prolific serial killer of all time. Like,
that's so insane.
Just based on body count, which is crazy. And they haven't even verified all the rest of them that he said.
I did wonder when this story first came out. What was it, back in like May or something?
Yeah, it was a while ago. Well, we first heard about him last year because he confessed.
Oh, was that already last
year?
Yeah. I don't even know what
time. Yeah, I know.
I don't know what time is anymore. But yeah, I remember when this first came out and he said that he did this. I was thinking like
a lot of people
maybe
say,
he would just make it up. Yeah, because like wouldn't you want to be the most prolific serial killer? If you're going to be a serial killer, might as well be like the top one. So I was thinking like, you know, but it's interesting to find out that it's confirmed.
Yep. Yep.
Imagine killing that many people.
Yeah, apparently over between 1970 and 2005.
Wow.
Strangling
35 years.
Women.
All strangling.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh. Imagine how numb you would be by like the 20th person.
Or seriously.
Maybe sooner. I don't even know. I just cannot imagine even strangling one person, let alone 90.
93.
How insane. 93.
And so like when he confessed too, he's able to sketch like all of his victims. Like he remembers each of his victims so well when he actually sketched portraits of them, that it's scary how close to the real thing they are.
So he really probably would look into these people's eyes and watch while they died.
He clearly got some sort of,
because he memorized their faces. I'd imagine if you choked someone to death, you'd probably end up memorizing their face because you'd never get that image out of your head.
Totally. Well, and there's a reason why you're strangling them too. Right. Clearly you're wanting that, you know, experience. I don't even know what the right word to say is, but you know. Well,
there's a lot of serial killers that have like a style. Yeah. Like it seems like a lot of people pick a way to do it and they do it like that. Yeah. Like you don't see a lot of serial killers where they're doing a bunch of different methods to kill their victims very often.
They usually, well, they pick one and they sort of like master it. And it's just most crazy that over that amount of time. Mm-hmm. And if you know, over that many victims, mm-hmm. he was never caught before.
That's like so insane,
which is scary to think about. Cause
how'd you get away with it?
Well, think about today, like how many serial killers are probably running around uncaught. Because it's probably got even smarter now. And, you know, a lot of times these people even work in law enforcement and things like that. They're able to fly under the radar really easily, which is just horrifying. But what he would do is his victims would tend to be like people that were homeless or really destitute, on the streets, sex workers, things like that. And especially back in that time, you know, African-American women, especially oftentimes if they went missing and things like that, they just didn't take it seriously.
And they just let it go.
A lot of times they wouldn't even investigate some of these cases. Mm-hmm. So now they're going back and they're starting to connect the dots and starting to realize that, you know, a lot of these people that just died and they have no idea what happened to them are being connected back to Samuel Little.
Wow.
So yeah, it's just mind blowing to think about.
Yeah, it really
somebody
is.
Somebody could do this kind of damage to innocent people. It's just,
I just can't imagine being him and thinking about this all the time. I'm sure you would have to. I guess eventually maybe you'd be able to like block it out of your head that you did that, but
not if he's able to draw their faces like perfectly.
Yeah.
Like he must really remember all these people and have taken it. I don't know. I guess seriously is such a stupid way to describe it, but you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. Like I think it was
a meaningful experience.
Yeah,
for
well
him
some people will say like, oh, I blacked out during this and I don't remember doing it type of
totally.
Thing
totally
and
a
that sounds like this is
that.
Not the case.
No, because he can clearly remember these people, and if they were just random people that he didn't have relationships with or friendships with or anything like that, then how did he memorize their faces so well? Unless he I think really looked into their eyes at that moment. It's the only thing that really makes sense.
Yeah, well, and I think too it's like DNA evidence just really wasn't a thing, and the limitations around that really prevented a lot of crimes and serial killers from being caught until now. Like, you know, as we're starting to see, I feel like because DNA has come a long way and we're able to, you know, go into all these databases and connect, you know, genealogy and all of this, like
it's amazing.
Hopefully we have a reduced amount of serial killers because it just becomes harder to become a serial killer. You know, as opposed to the 70s, 80s, you know, when information did not travel as quickly as it does now. It's, you know, instantaneous and you know, tweeted out constantly, things like that. It's a lot harder to fly, you know, under the radar like that and commit so many murders.
Especially when you think about like Golden State Killer, you know, him getting caught with his DNA finally for all those years. He was just like hanging out in houses, putting his DNA on everything, eating their food, laying in their beds. Like his DNA was all over his victims' houses and he didn't care. He wasn't scared of that. It wasn't even a factor. But now criminals have to think about that.
Yeah. And all those guys would have been caught.
Yep.
Way sooner. If they had the tools that we do today.
Yeah. I mean, DNA has been a huge thing for the future of crime.
As most of us have found out the hard way, getting into debt is easy, but getting out is hard, especially if your credit score isn't great. Thankfully, now there's Upstart.com, the revolutionary lending platform that knows you're more than just your credit score and offers smart interest rates to help you pay off high interest credit card debt, because damn those credit cards, man. Especially when you're first starting out, everybody wants to offer you a credit card and it's so tempting to just go in and apply for one. And that's where I wish I would have known about Upstart. Upstart goes beyond the traditional credit score when assessing your credit worthiness. They actually reward you based on your education and job history, which is revolutionary in the form of a smarter interest rate. Upstart believes you're more than just your credit score and they believe in you and they understand that. They make it fast, simple, and easy to check your rate in just a few minutes. The best part, once the loan is approved and accepted, most people get their funds the very next business day. Literally the next day, guys. Over 300,000 people have used Upstart to pay off credit cards or meet their financial goals. Free yourself from the burden of high interest credit card debt by consolidating everything into one monthly payment with Upstart. It really does help to do that and consolidate things into one. See why Upstart is ranked number one in their category with over 300 businesses on Trustpilot, and hurry to upstart.com/milehigher to find out how low your Upstart rate is. Checking your rate only takes a few minutes and it won't affect your credit. Best of all, that's upstart.com/milehigher.
So our next sponsor is something that I have been using every day for quite a bit of time now, and I have become a true fan of this product, and that is Native Deodorant. Native is natural. It's formulated without aluminum, parabens, or talc. It's filled with ingredients that are found in nature, such as coconut oil, shea butter, tapioca starch, and they never test on animals, which is huge for me. They have free shipping and returns, and it's truly an awesome product. I have noticed personally that I used to get these like bumps, like maybe ingrown hairs in my underarms every once in a while, and they really used to irritate me. And since I've started using this formula, which is super moisturizing, I definitely want to emphasize that, I have noticed such a change in my underarms. They look beautiful. I was telling Josh the other day, they just look so much better than they used to, and they feel better. I don't have like pain in there. I just love it. It definitely takes a few weeks to get used to a natural deodorant. So if you switch over, it's going to take your body a little bit of time to get used to it. But once you get used to it and you're in the clear, it is so awesome. Native has over 8,000 five-star reviews. You can check them out on the Today Show, Elle Magazine, Pop Sugar, Refinery 29. And the bottom line is less is more with Native. They have fewer, simpler ingredients. So you know everything that's in your deodorant. You can feel confident when putting it on every day because your underarm is filled with pores. They also have awesome scents. I love their coconut and vanilla. They also have lavender, rose, cucumber and mint, eucalyptus and mint. So check it out today and get 20% off your first purchase at nativedeodorant.com using promo code MILEHIGHER at checkout. That's 20% off your first purchase at nativedeodorant.com and use promo code MILEHIGHER during checkout.
Okay, and welcome back. So it is actually now, if you are watching, you probably can tell that we are wearing different clothes and we switched sides. It's 2 days later and we've actually never had to do this with our podcast. We've never recorded
In two separate sessions.
No, never.
Never.
But we had some unfortunate things happen. If you were watching our live streamed live topics on Instagram, we do them at Mile Higher Podcast. We do a little live stream of our intro topics. But if you were watching that, you saw Josh start having an allergic reaction during those.
Really
bad. If you just listened, you may not have even noticed because, you know, that's the magic of editing. But yeah, full on. Like allergy attack.
Shit coming out of the nose. Like,
yeah, like he was talking tearing, to me.
Terrible.
And it was just coming down. And we were talking about something so important. I was like, oh my God, we're not going to be able to get through this. So after we did intro topics, we were like, Josh was a mess. And we were like, we don't want to ruin this topic because Josh is like falling
sniffling
apart.
Sniffling and just like being annoying. So.
It's not good for a podcast to have stuff going on. So we decided that we were going to film it the following day. And then the next morning we woke up and nothing was working on our phones. And it turns out that the guys who are building the studio actually cut our Comcast cord, essentially.
Yeah. Our internet cable, essentially.
Yeah.
To the house.
Without asking.
We had no internet.
So we couldn't record yesterday, which was Sunday, because we couldn't, access any of the clips
internet
that we have.
Or like our notes or anything like that. So
yeah, so it was a total pain, and we're now recording Monday. So this is the first time the show's broken up into two parts, and that's why we changed. And then Janelle's not here, and when Janelle's not here, it's complicated, but I have to sit on this side. We get so many comments about it. I just have to address that.
Yep.
Okay.
Anyways.
The Stanley Hotel.
Let's talk about what we were supposed to be talking about.
Yes.
So let's talk about the historic and haunted Stanley Hotel.
Very haunted. It's one of the most famous haunted places in the country, I think.
Definitely, especially when it goes as far as haunted hotels go.
Yeah.
Stanley Hotel's always in, the top there. So the Stanley Hotel, for those of you that don't know, or those of you that do not live in the United States, which is actually a lot of you, in our wonderful state of Colorado, we have a little mountain town called Estes Park. It's very beautiful.
It's actually a big mountain town, kind of, compared to a lot of other mountains.
Yeah, it's a lot larger.
Taylor Swift even had a house there at one point.
She did.
It's a beautiful area.
A lot of people go up there for tourism. And mm-hmm. The main reason, though, is because it is sort of the gateway to Rocky Mountain National Park, mm-hmm. which is like the most famous, national park in this area of the country. And in this little mountain town, there's this hotel known as the Stanley Hotel. And it has been there for a very long time. And as many of you probably know, it has connection to The Shining, the novel by Stephen King, because he got inspired to write it there while he stayed there, which we'll talk about later. But also it's been in movies like Dumb and Dumber briefly. Jim Carrey was there. Mm-hmm. And he actually stayed there as well.
We'll talk about that too,
because that's crazy. But it's a really, really cool place. Very historic and very haunted, as we have experienced firsthand.
Yeah, we have been there. We've done the ghost tour. We haven't stayed the night, but we actually just booked ourselves to stay there.
We did.
We've always wanted to do it. And there was a Friday the 13th that was open. So we are going to stay there on a Friday the 13th.
Yeah, we're actually going up there for a concert at the hotel. They have a concert hall that is also haunted. And we're going to be going to the concert, and then we're actually staying in probably the most haunted room in the entire hotel. It's the same one that Stephen King, it's actually called Stephen King's room.
Yeah.
Because it was
217.
A room where crazy shit happens. So before we get into all of that stuff, though, it's important to understand a little bit of the history of the mm-hmm. Stanley Hotel, because it's actually very interesting how this hotel came to be. Going way, way back, into the 1800s, before there was any sort of settlement up there or any sort of people living up there, it was basically land that belonged to the Native Americans, specifically the Ute and Arapaho tribes that roamed this area up there in the mountains, mm-hmm. which I'm sure at the time was super beautiful, just mm-hmm. open. And, there's a lot of wildlife up there, so there's really good hunting. I'm sure for them, for food, there's elk every year that migrate down through Estes Park. You can always go up there and see elk, which is cool.
So it was a great place for people at this time to go.
Yeah, exactly. So as people started moving west, there was a big surge of, the gold rush and all that mm-hmm. stuff, people moving west and, creating settlements and new towns and such. That's where the main man, F.O. Stanley, comes into play. And he's actually the guy that built the hotel in the early 1900s. And he's famous because he created the Stanley steam engine, which helped power the steam powered horseless carriage. So kind of like a car.
So he was a big deal.
He created the engine. He was a very big deal.
That was a big invention.
Very wealthy as well, mm-hmm. as you can imagine, for inventing the steam engine.
F.O. stands for Freeland Oscar Stanley.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering, what does F.O. stand for?
Yeah.
Freeland Oscar. Interesting.
So Freeland and his wife Flora came to Colorado in 1903 because his doctor actually advised him to seek fresh mountain air.
Yeah. Well, he had tuberculosis, so,
Right.
A lot of the times you're not going to live very long, so might as well get some fresh air and kind of see if you can heal that way. That was pretty much the only thing they knew to do. And mountain air is known to be so good for your lungs.
Right, right. Fresh oxygen, you know, in the forest and in the mountains and stuff. Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, a lot of people, that's why a lot of people go to the mountains, you know, that's why we go to get fresh mountain air.
And every time we're there, we say it, we're like, God, mountain air, so nice.
Well, it's just all like the pine trees everywhere. Yeah. You get that nice, it's a distinct smell, the mountain smell.
It is. It's like so crisp and you can literally like taste it. I don't know.
You kind of can, honestly.
Tastes fresh, fresh air, guys. Get to the mountains.
Seriously. Anyway.
So he had tuberculosis. So he went up there to get some of that fresh mountain air.
So when Flora and F.O. Stanley initially came to Estes Park Valley, or Estes Valley is what it was known as, they were, you know, there to stay at a friend's cabin actually for the summer. They were only planning to stay there for that long. Mm-hmm. But after spending the summer in the cabin, Flora wanted a home like the one she had left in Maine. And the couple built their new home about 1 mile west of where the Stanley Hotel would later be built. And today, still, this house is a private residence, which is actually interesting.
That's cool that that's still there, actually.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, everything there, including the Stanley Hotel, is all original, which is cool. Mm-hmm. So he built the hotel on the land that he purchased from a man by the name of Earl Lord Dunraven, an Irishman, who actually beat everybody up there. And because he came there in the late 1800s, 1872 to be exact, on a hunting trip. And he actually ended up building a hunting lodge and cabin and hotel for his guests and illegally homesteaded up to 6,000 acres in an attempt to basically create his own like private hunting preserve and not allow anybody else to come up there and build on that land.
That's ballsy.
And he was, he's kind of a scammy person. He would scam people out of their land, and eventually they ran him out of town. This Lord Dunraven.
Who calls themselves Lord Dunraven?
It's definitely like a, you know, European thing to be like, sir, lord, you know.
Lord, I'm lord.
So once he got run out of town, though, F.O. Stanley started construction on his Stanley Hotel in 1906. He got wood and rock from the nearby mountains, and the hotel was built in this Georgian architectural style, which experienced a revival in the early 20th century. It's beautiful architecture. It's definitely, it looks historical when you look at it.
It really does. It's a beautiful hotel. One of our friends got married there. Deb and Greg got married there.
Oh, really? That's cool.
Isn't that cool?
Honestly, I'd like to be married there.
We weren't married
a little
there.
Too late.
Yeah, it's a little too late.
So when the Stanley Hotel initially opened in 1909, the first guests who pulled up were in stylish Stanley designed steam cars, which he provided for them, clearly. And they were completely blown away by what they saw, because it was kind of this first time that there was this luxurious hotel that rivaled hotels back east, you know, that everybody was used to,
kind of in the rugged
way
mountains.
Up here in the mountains, you know, it's like, whoa,
totally different.
This is totally cool.
And that's why you don't see a lot of old, you know, big fancy hotels like this in little mountain
towns. Totally.
You know, it's not very common.
Not big ones
to like, visit it.
Yeah. Not as big and luxurious as this. Yeah. I can't even think of, I mean, I know there's other historic hotels, but they're all really small and definitely don't have all of the things like, you know, at the time, electric lights, telephones, ensuite bathrooms.
Right.
There was a staff of uniformed servants, and there was a fleet of automobiles at their disposal. Initially, the hotel featured 420 rooms plus ballrooms, dining areas, and an underground cave system.
420.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect for Colorado.
Maybe he was 420 friendly. Maybe that's what
maybe he was.
Imagine they came up there and there's just like fields of cannabis growing in there.
If only.
So by 1917, it was officially a municipality up there. So really, the hotel is what established the whole town. Mm-hmm. It brought people up there, and that's why, you know, it grew so quickly. They ended up having a complete waterworks, a power plant, and they had all these other organizations, all thanks to the Stanley Hotel.
Basically, like, created a little economy.
Yeah, it really did. Because Estes Park was incorporated in 1917. And it also helped get the Rocky Mountain National Park established in 1915, which is cool. Because, if you've never been to Rocky Mountain National Park, highly recommend it. If you're ever traveling to Colorado, I know some of you ask us, like, where do you go? If you want a mountain experience, definitely head to Estes Park.
Yeah. It's a little farther from Denver. A lot of the times we get people who are like wanting to come, you know, just for a day because they're like in Denver for work or something. And they only have like, they can only drive a little
bit. It is a bit of a drive.
I always recommend like Georgetown or Mount Evans or something that's a little closer, but Estes isn't too bad.
It's only like 2 hours from the airport, I think.
Yeah, no, it's not too bad. If you have like a couple days or even a 2 days.
A day or two, you could go up there.
Yeah, you could even just do a day trip, but yeah, it's a really gorgeous area.
It really is. And the hotel actually kind of sits up on top of this hill overlooking the valley, which is really cool. So it's got a really scenic view of, I think it's Lake Estes up there, and then the mountain range that's right there. It's just gorgeous up there. Area. I'm pumped to go up there and stay there.
I
know,
I can't wait. I'm really nervous, but I also can't wait.
So F.O. Stanley, despite having tuberculosis, did not die from that. We believe that because he, you know, stayed up in the mountains, he never went back east. Or he did go back east at the end of his life. He actually died in Massachusetts, I believe, at age 91.
Oh, wow.
But from a heart attack.
Wow. So he lived. Could have healed his tuberculosis.
It could have, absolutely. Because he lived a really long time, way more than I think anybody anticipated he would. And his wife, Flora, died only a year earlier. So the Stanley Hotel has been known to host many famous guests, as we mentioned earlier. But some of those other guests included the unsinkable Molly Brown actually stayed there. Mm-hmm. She's kind of a famous Denver historical figure, I would
Molly
say.
Molly Brown house. And
right.
Stuff, yeah.
Right. John Philip Sousa, who was a famous composer back in the day. Theodore Roosevelt stayed there, which is cool. Mm. As well as the Emperor and Empress of Japan.
Wow. Variety of Hollywood personalities as well.
Which makes sense why Theodore Roosevelt, because I'm pretty sure, I could be wrong, but he had something to do with the formation of Rocky Mountain National Park, I believe, around that time. Because wasn't he president around there?
Yeah.
I can't remember the exact dates he was president.
I think he was involved with like the Roosevelt National Forest, though.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, that's why it's named Roosevelt National Forest. So he made a lot of those forests, maybe not the park, but a lot of the forests are actually called Roosevelt National Forest still. So that would make sense why he'd go up there and stay up there, you know? Because that's when all that was happening.
Yeah, and it was like the place to go, too. It was like fancy.
Yeah.
It's like the Bellagio in the middle of Estes Park.
Right, right. But by the 1970s, the hotel's splendor had faded due to the lack of care and investment. It might have eventually been torn down had it not been for Stephen King's stay at the hotel. Because up until 1983, the Stanley Hotel was actually only open during the summer, and it would shut down in the winter every year, which is interesting.
I know. It's so random. It doesn't get that cold up there. I mean, it does. But like not to have a hotel not function.
Right, right.
But I guess maybe back then they weren't able to heat the rooms enough or something. 420 rooms back then.
Yeah, I don't know why. I think honestly, it's just like they couldn't. They weren't able to keep it running.
Exactly. Oh, okay.
Because for a long time, it just kind of like faded out of people's minds, I think, until Stephen King came and made it famous, which we'll talk about in a minute. But let's talk about some of the ghosts that inhabit the Stanley Hotel. So one interesting thing to note is that the Stanley Hotel actually rests on a bed of quartz and limestone, which many people believe to be responsible for helping spirits' energy remain strong within the building, which is interesting.
I love that. That's cool.
That's really cool. And I think it's very true that that's the case there. Because the amount of paranormal activity within this hotel is...
Yeah, it's insane.
A lot.
There is a lot.
I mean, there's a reason why everybody in the paranormal world wants to go to the Stanley Hotel at some point, because... You're almost guaranteed to see some paranormal activity, it seems like.
Maybe. If you're lucky. I mean, I wouldn't say almost guaranteed.
I think
we were lucky on our tour.
Yeah. I think so, too.
A little bit. I mean, we literally have some on camera. It's crazy. We'll show you guys.
Well, you also got to think, like, if you're not looking for paranormal activity, you're probably not going to think that there's paranormal activity unless it's, like, really in-your-face type of activity.
Yeah, but I feel like even if you're looking for it, you don't always see it.
That's true. That's true.
And sometimes if you're too desperate to see it, then you're just like making shit up, you know?
Every sound is some type
of... I was like trying to go into the ghost tour so skeptical when we did it. And then I couldn't believe stuff was happening. Like right on camera, I was catching things for the vlog. It was wild.
I think one of the coolest things about the Stanley Hotel, though, is that they have kept the inside very much how it was, you know, when it was first built. Like when you walk in there, it's walking into a completely different time.
Yeah, it feels older.
a lot older, I would say. And what's interesting is that one of the most notable ghosts is actually believed to be F.O. Stanley himself, who is most often seen in the lobby in the billiard room.
It makes sense. Which would make sense. He stays around and checks out his property.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm sure he'd have a lot of emotional attachment to this place. Mm-hmm. Especially these two rooms were his favorite rooms while he was still alive. Actually, on one such occasion, he is said to have appeared during a tour group's visit to the billiard room, materializing behind a member of the tour.
Interesting. I remember being in the billiard room.
Yeah, it was a cool, it's a really cool room.
Didn't something happen to your cousin Becky when we were standing in there? I remember she thought she felt like a chill or like she felt cold or something.
Yeah, definitely a shift.
Or she thought she felt something.
Yeah.
Now I'm forgetting.
That could be because he's lingering, you know, he's lurking around. He's
behind her.
And that's the thing too, is like some of these spirits aren't necessarily like evil or mean or angry. They're just there because they enjoy being there.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah.
They kind of protect the hotel in a way.
Right.
It's interesting. That's why I'm willing to stay there.
Yeah. It's not like we're going to a place where all this crazy, horrible shit has happened.
And, yeah.
You know, we're dealing with some demonic forces here. Mm-mm. But bartenders at the hotel have also seen F.O. Stanley stroll through the bar, disappearing when they try to cut him off at the kitchen.
Interesting.
His wife also haunts the hotel. And sometimes if you go into the ballroom, there's a big grand piano there. And sometimes guests will walk in there and hear the piano playing, but there's nobody playing. And employees have even said that they hear music coming from this room. They're like, okay, who's playing the piano? They walk in and all they see are keys moving on the keyboard.
Oh, that's so scary. I would freak out. I would think it's fake if I were a guest. I'd be like, oh, they must have something like pulling it or something.
Well, there are those pianos that can do the like play on their own. I could see them doing that.
Well, I doubt it, honestly. They're like super true to tradition at the Stanley.
Yeah, they really are. But one of the most haunted spots on the entire hotel grounds is the concert hall, which I'm super excited about because
I can't believe we're seeing a show in there. And we will be vlogging it for those of you who
and paranormal investigating it. We're going to get, you know, our EVP.
Are we really?
Our EMF. Absolutely. Right. Oh, you have to.
We're going to make a video out of it.
Totally.
We'll see if we see anything.
Because what's interesting about the concert hall is that there is kind of a potentially a negative spirit there. A man named Paul, who worked at the Stanley Hotel from 1995 to 2005, so fairly recent, and died of a heart attack while en route from the hotel to the hospital after suffering chest pains.
Interesting.
He was known as a jack of all trades, and one of his responsibilities was to enforce the hotel's 11 p.m. curfew. And apparently it's not uncommon to hear a faint and ominous, "Get out!" in the after hours.
Oh my gosh, interesting. Huh. We'll so again, he's just like maintaining the hotel. He's like, follow the fucking rules, guys.
Yeah.
Get out.
Apparently, though, a construction worker who was sanding the floor just a few years ago believes Paul was brazen enough to physically nudge him to the door after feeling two arms pull him back.
What?
Yeah.
That's so scary. And he also flickers the lights for tour groups.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh. That's scary. Are we going to do the tour again? Well, I guess we've already done the daytime.
We're going to do our own tour.
Yeah. I was going to say we could do the nighttime one, but we're going to be at the concert, so.
And then afterwards, we can just wander around.
Yeah. We're just going to do our own investigation.
This is interesting. So the concert hall has a little area that goes down to the basement, like directly underneath it. And that's actually where Paul had his own room. And then across from Paul's room is occupied by another ghostly resident. This spirit is known as Lucy. She's a 12 or 13 year old girl who is rumored to have been a homeless at the time when she was kicked out into the cold where she died.
Yeah. That they basically like shoved a kid out there. I don't know though. Like, God, it was that savage back then. They'd be like, get out, kid.
Yeah.
Get in the snow.
We're a hotel, but too bad. Get out.
So she like froze to death out there basically, which is not a good way to go. And obviously your spirit may not be totally happy.
And apparently she haunts that area of the hotel and she communicates with people.
It's like the basement, right?
It's different from the underground cave area. This is I don't think we actually went into this area when we did our tour. But what's interesting is that a tour group actually claims to have captured a photo of her.
Yeah.
So the photo, if you're watching, is you're seeing a man, which is the tour guide, and whoever took the picture was walking behind him, and he happened to capture this image of, it looks like a little girl with a pink, like tutu almost, like a little dress or something.
Dress or something. It's creepy.
And he claims that there is no such girl in the group whatsoever.
Well, and it just doesn't even look human, because if you look at it, it doesn't look like a kid, even if it's it wasn't.
Translucent.
Like,
yeah.
Look at its the shape of its skull.
Right.
Its eyes. Like, it doesn't, bizarre, it's man. Really creepy. I mean, it doesn't look human at all.
Yeah. Crazy, though.
I know.
People catch all kinds of stuff in, at this hotel, too. Like, evidence of ghosts and spirits and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also an extremely haunted mirror of unknown origins. They actually have no idea where this mirror came from. It's also stored in the basement of the concert hall.
Oh, that's creepy.
It's really old. It's actually older than the Stanley Hotel itself.
Oh, my gosh. God, that might be the like most haunted thing in the hotel.
Because mirrors oftentimes, we believe, can capture spirits and energy and things like that.
Yeah,
so
we talked about that in our haunted objects episode.
Yeah, there's the mirror at the Myrtle's Plantation, which is really haunted. But yeah, apparently if you look into this mirror, you can actually capture figures of people and apparitions standing next to them while taking photos of their reflection in the mirror. Pretty cool. But then this next part we actually went into on our tour. It's known as the tunnel. And it is a, like the tour guide said, it's a huge hotspot for paranormal activity, they were saying. And it's literally like just rock.
Yeah.
The walls are all made out of rock.
They call it the cave. Mm-hmm. It looks like a cave. It's really creepy in there. I felt so creeped out in there. Like that was my least favorite part of the whole tour. It was so cold in there and just freaky. And
it definitely is eerie in there.
I was over it. Yeah. It scares me.
And yeah, I don't think it's really used all that much anymore, but former staff used to use it to like navigate through the hotel.
Yeah. And get through it. Like crazy, kind of a though, quick like, way to get through.
That they made all this underground passageways and stuff back then, like in the early 1900s.
It's kind of cool. It was convenient for the staff, so.
Apparently there's a haunted cat down there, too. We didn't see them. Yeah. There's a gray ghostly feline with green glowing eyes.
Oh, that's badass. I want
to
find
it. That is rumored to hang out down there.
We're going to have to find that cat.
One of the cool spots, though, is like right as you walk into the hotel to check in, there's this grand staircase. Mm-hmm. And this is a very famous spot for people capturing apparitions with their cameras.
Yep.
And there's this famous photo that was taken by a guest, which appears to show a woman dressed in clothes from like the 1900s on the stairs. And it's clearly not a guest. It's very weird because it's the same type of situation as the other girl is like. You can't really make out the face or the head or anything.
It's kind of hard to tell. I mean, I see what people are saying about it being possibly older clothes, but like at the same time, it doesn't, it like if you look up close, it also could be like younger clothes.
Yeah, but I think it's like wearing a hat or something, you know, like those old hats they used to wear in the 1900s.
I can't even see it fully enough to tell where her head is looking.
Well, yeah, because it's the
I think that's just her hair and like an updo. I don't think she has a hat.
But is it a ghost or is it him just taking a picture of his wife or something?
I mean, I don't know. It could be either.
Well, they claim that, you know, it's a ghost or an apparition of something. And people oftentimes do see this at the top of this grand staircase. It's pretty cool. But before we get into these haunted rooms, because this is where a lot of the haunting activity happens, is in the hotel rooms at the Stanley. We'd like to thank our last sponsors for today. Did you know that a good night's sleep is like a magic remedy for the brain and body? When we sleep well, we're focused and relaxed, and best of all, sleep makes us happier. I know for me personally, if I don't get a good night's rest, I do not feel well the next day at all. And if you've ever struggled with falling asleep or you have sleep apnea and it can be hard to just get any sleep at all, and that's where Calm comes in, because Calm is the number one app for sleep. Sleep deficiency does serious damage not to just your brain, but to your body as well. The sleepless are more prone to accidents, weight gain, and depression. And with Calm, you'll discover a whole library of programs designed to help you get the sleep your brain and body needs. Like soundscapes and over 100 sleep stories narrated by soothing voices like Jerome Flynn from Game of Thrones and Stephen Fry. So if you want to seize the day, sleep the night with the help of Calm. Most of all, though, Calm is an excellent app for meditation. They have all sorts of different meditations on there, from the very beginning stages of meditation, if you're just wanting to see what it's all about, to those of you that have been meditating for a very long time, they have something for everybody. And right now, Mile Higher listeners get 25% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/milehigher. That's calm.com/milehigher. 40 million people have downloaded Calm. Find out why at calm.com/milehigher today.
So if you open my bra drawer, you will only see Third Love bras. I have been buying these for years, way before they were sponsoring us, and I truly recommend them. First of all, it's so convenient. You can completely skip your trip to the store. A lot of the times it's really awkward in those tiny little dressing rooms to get fitted for a bra, and oftentimes they fit you completely wrong. Their online fit finder is super easy, it's quick, and it can tell you a lot about your bra size. I actually was wearing a completely wrong bra size before I took their test, and now I'm in the right size. Then they send it to you, you try it on at home, and if it doesn't work out, you actually just send it back to them and they donate it to a women's shelter. Over 14 million women have taken the quiz to date, and it's actually really fun and takes less than a minute to complete. It's hands down the most comfortable bra you're ever going to own. The straps won't slip and they have tagless labels, so no more itching. They're very lightweight and they're made out of super thin memory foam to make the cups. And it really molds to your shape personally. Third Love knows that there's a perfect bra for everyone. So right now they are offering our listeners 15% off on their first order. All you got to do is go to thirdlove.com/milehigher now to find your perfect fitting bra and get 15% off of your first purchase. That's thirdlove.com/milehigher for 15% off today.
All right, let's talk about the most famous room in this hotel by far, and potentially the most haunted, room 217, which we'll be staying in, as we talked about. But
on Friday the 13th.
Yeah, on Friday the 13th. I know, right?
Oh my God.
But I found this clip of an actual tour guide at the hotel talking about the story behind this room, and I thought they could tell the story way better than we could. So we'll go ahead and play that, because it is super freaky.
Well, welcome everybody to the Stanley Hotel, and welcome to room 217. Out of all the rooms at our hotel, this is probably the most famous and the most infamous. The story for 217 really goes back to June 25th, 1911, when the power went out to this hotel for the first time due to a flood. And F.O. Stanley, the founder of our hotel, started up a backup system for lighting, which was acetylene gas lanterns in every room. And there was a leak of acetylene that built up in room 217. That night, our head chambermaid, Miss Elizabeth Wilson, entered room 217 with a lit candle to turn on the lights, and she set off an explosion. We lost 10% of this hotel from that explosion. They found parts of this hotel half a mile south of here, and a local church service in town said in the paper the next morning they saw a bathtub fly up in the air. And Miss Wilson survived it. You see, Miss Wilson actually shot from the entrance to room 217 down to the first floor, where she landed in the dining hall and survived. And Miss Wilson was in a coma for 2 days. When she woke up, Miss Wilson came back to work at the Stanley about 18 months after that. And Miss Wilson worked here from 1913 till 1950, when she was 90 years old. And we think Miss Wilson still works here today, because we believe Miss Wilson is the spirit that is present in room 217. Everything we know about Miss Wilson in 217 to this day is very helpful. She's actually not that scary. The most common thing that happens is that people wake up with things tidied up, even though they left them dirty through the night. People have said that they will find their clothes unpacked and folded and put on the bed. We've had people find their shoes rearranged. I even had one person say they woke up to find the bed made around them so that they couldn't get out of it when they woke up in the morning. So I always like to say that she is creepy but well-intentioned. And Miss Wilson is still here to this day. Another story about room 217 goes back to 1974, when Stephen King and his wife spent the night in this room. You see, September 30th, 1974 was going to be the last day we were going to be open for the entire year. And Stephen King and his wife, the only two people to stay in this hotel for the night. So we put them in the presidential suite, room 217. After a night at the restaurant and at the bar, Stephen King was a little nervous about this hotel, so he actually came back here to go to sleep. And in his dream that night on this bed, Stephen King said he had one of the worst nightmares of his life, that a fire hose from the hotel was chasing his son through the hallway till it started constricting his son and trying to kill him. So King woke up terrified, sweating, and he went out to the balcony in front of this room to have a cigarette. And by the time he was done with that cigarette, Stephen King said he came up with the outline for the novel, The Shining, in his head.
I absolutely love that story, that she opens the door, there's an explosion, and it basically forces her through the floor before she can suffer any damage from the explosion. It's so insane.
How lucky.
Very lucky. Very lucky.
I mean, it blew like a huge part of the hotel completely away.
Yeah, I mean, it was horrible, and she was fine. She broke pretty much every bone in her body, but she was fine.
Interesting that she like haunts it now, you know?
Well, she's like a friendly haunt. Right. She's known to like unpack.
Well, some people said, some people said they woke up and they felt like there was something in between them.
But that's only when people aren't married. You keep forgetting this. You keep thinking it's going to happen to us. It probably won't.
Right.
Because we...
Damn. Well, let's get divorced and then we'll go. We're
approved by Jesus, right? That's what she used to do, is like, if you weren't married, she would like shame you by getting in the bed with you if you were sleeping with a man and you weren't married, to save your reputation, though, you know, to help you out.
Right. But whole Stephen King's thing is a little bit freakier, though, because he has like this horrible nightmare where, you know, his like son's being strangled and completely just doesn't sleep well at all.
Well, it may not have anything to do with Elizabeth, you know.
No.
Could just be another spirit in the hotel. Yeah. I mean, the hotel's just totally haunted. It's a haunted space.
Right. Yeah, man. I don't know. Either way, I'm excited for this because...
Correct me if I'm wrong, paranormal experts out there, but I'm pretty sure if there's like one or two known ghosts, that like more can come. It like attracts more spirits to a spot, and spirits can thrive more the more there are living in one spot.
Yeah. Yeah. That would make sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and all the limestone and quartz and stuff helps.
Yeah.
Keep the spirit strong. Just
keep it cleansed energy.
So we will be in room 217. We'll definitely have to.
I'm scared.
Record our experience. Probably won't sleep at all that night, I'm sure.
Yeah, who knows? I mean, or nothing
will happen. It'll be like the best night's sleep.
I mean, we're going to try to make a video out of it, but if nothing happens, I mean, probably not.
Exciting we'll video.
But
there was this clip, though, I wanted to share from our ghost tour, because we did have a paranormal experience. I think I was the one that noticed it happening at first.
Sort of guy. Oh my god, it just opened on its own. But the person didn't open it. Oh my god.
So one of the closets you get kissed, the other one you get pinched.
Oh my
god. If you happen to be really lucky, he'll sit on the edge of the bed. He'll give you a little kissy night night. It doesn't matter if
you're
in there with you. You know,
what?
You're meant to have
what?
Like, well, just for an image, like, fixing stuff right now. People awake, you know, he's heavy footed.
We oh my gosh, does she even know her door's open?
Voluntarily, and who won't? That doesn't mean they're not alive. They're just not interested in playing with us. They do their own thing.
Oh,
and then we have the spirits that are very happy to interact with us, like Miss Wilson. And we're happy to have all of them. It's just like a community of introverts and extroverts, just like this. We'll go down one floor.
That was definitely some paranormal activity, because you even see at the end how the person that's staying in that room was like way far away from the door.
Yeah.
While it's opening and closing on its own.
And the tour guide didn't even point it out or notice it, because she was facing the other direction. So it's not like this was some setup thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
and there wasn't a window open in there either, because it's like cold. It was cold that time of year. I don't even know if you can open the window.
It was so weird.
Yeah.
And you could just feel the energy in there while that was happening, and it felt like off. It was crazy. I'll never forget that moment.
Yeah, and just that whole area, because she was like, I can't remember, it might even been the fourth floor, I think, that we were on when that happened, because the fourth floor is actually the most haunted floor of the whole hotel. And she was showing us the staircase that is apparently like a vortex for energy and stuff, she said, remember?
Yeah.
She was like, there's a lot of like paranormal stuff that happens around here because of this vortex of energy in this stairwell.
Interesting.
So yeah, pretty cool. Oh, the one other thing I was going to say about room 217 that was interesting is that Jim Carrey stayed there during the filming of Dumb and Dumber, but he checked out after 3 hours of being in the room. He was only in the room for 3 hours, and he has never said why he left the room.
Shane Dawson stayed in that room, right?
I believe so, yeah.
And he was fine. We'll be fine, right?
Yeah, I mean, tons of people, like the tour guide said, tons of people stay in the room, and there's
no issue. So why did Jim Carrey leave? Sorry if you can hear our dog barking. We have a puppy. He's 3 months old, so... He's not having it tonight. He's burnt out.
But in that clip of us on the tour, there was also that staircase that they showed real quick, yeah, which is very weird because there's just this random staircase on the edge of, on the wall.
Yeah.
That goes, it's really steep. It's narrow. Mm-hmm. And it just descends into pitch black.
Into nothingness.
Darkness. Like, yeah, nobody knows really what it is or where it goes.
Yeah.
It's very weird. Isn't that? Yeah.
No one knows like the original purpose of it.
No. What the hell?
I know. Yeah.
I bet you there's so many hidden like compartments and rooms. Yeah. And I bet there's some crazy.
Yeah, I'm excited to go check it out. Crazy stuff
there, for sure. So, fourth floor is most haunted, and some of the most haunted rooms are on that floor, of course. Room 401, the story goes that more than a century ago, apparently the entire fourth floor was a cavernous attic, and it's where female employees, children, and nannies stayed. But now today's guests will report hearing children running around laughing, giggling, and playing. Plus, there's a famous closet that tends to open and shut on its own in this room. I wonder if Stephen King, though, heard, like, children giggling and stuff, because you know how there's the twins and the Shining and stuff?
Yeah, they freak me out. That is one movie I have seen. I'm sure you guys are wondering if I've actually seen that one.
It's a classic.
Have seen it.
Another room that's haunted is room 407, and this room was occupied by Lord Dunraven, who actually obviously owned the land prior to F.O. Stanley.
Yeah, we talked about his ass.
Mm-hmm. But reportedly, he likes to stand in the corner of the room near the bathroom door.
Oh, that's so creepy.
I've never experienced that, but I can only imagine how freaked out I'd be if I saw like a shadowy figure or an apparition of somebody standing there watching me. That's creepy as hell.
You honestly can't imagine what that feels like. I mean, I did have that one experience where I think I saw something, and it was like the most shocking moment ever. It was like, I was so freaked out. I can't imagine seeing an entire body.
Yeah.
Especially a dark figure. Yeah. I saw like a kind of a half light figure.
Yeah.
And I'm not even sure what I saw, but I can't imagine seeing like a dark dude standing in the corner of the room.
And you can like make out the outline of a human.
Oh, that's so scary. And so many people just see that kind of shit when they have sleep paralysis too. Oh,
fuck, that's scary.
I'm so glad that neither of us have that because, oh shit.
I sleep like a baby like, most nights.
Oh my gosh, you have no idea.
Seriously. Yeah, on one account, witnesses reported that a light in the corner kept turning on and off as well. And while the light was off, they told the ghost that they knew they were there and that they would only be staying two nights. And could he please turn the light back on? And then after, as soon as they said that, it flicked back on.
That's what it seems like the key is, being really polite and just asking them nicely and being like, I don't mind that you're here, but would you mind doing this?
Yeah.
And they'll do it.
Right. Don't enrage the ghost.
No.
Don't piss him off.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is interesting. That's a good point. You got to be polite to these spirits.
Yeah.
It's to think about, though, that a spirit can hear you talking is just a whole nother thing. Like, what is even going on there? Like, as a spirit, you still have, like, the ability to listen and hear.
I think so.
Things in this realm. Like, that's so weird.
I think so.
And we just can't really. I guess we can hear them sometimes. They do speak. Just very softly, you know.
Yeah, or through those EVP machines.
Right. Through the spirit boxes and stuff. Yeah. That's crazy. Another thing is that later on, when the lights were turned off and they were trying to sleep, noises were constantly heard from the nearby elevator during a time when the elevator was not in use. And other times, a ghostly face has been reported to be looking out the window of room 407 when the room is not booked.
Mm.
So it seems like clearly there's some type of
something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe Lord Dunraven.
Lord Dunraven.
Having an internal stay in room 407.
Just being a fuck forever.
God. Room 418 gets the most reports of haunting activity, apparently from children's spirits. Cleaning crews report having heard many strange noises coming from the room, as well as seeing impressions on the bed when the room has been empty.
Hmm.
Weird.
I wonder if I contacted them, if I could like interview any of the employees. I would love to like
just maybe interview. That's not a bad idea, actually.
Maid or something, and
or a tour guide or something, even like that.
Yeah, I mean, a tour guide would be awesome too, but I don't know. I feel like even just people that work at the hotel in pretty regular positions,
just
would
ask them, be like, hey,
stories.
Hey man,
interesting stories. I mean,
yeah, ever see anything here while working here? It's actually a really good idea. That'd be interesting. One of the most common things that guests report while staying in room 418 is that they often hear children playing in the hallway at night.
Ooh. That's scary.
That's really creepy. There's nothing worse than creepy children laughing that you don't know.
Honestly, 418 sounds scarier than 217 to me.
I think that whole floor is just scarier.
Yeah.
We'll have to check out the fourth floor as well, late at night. One couple actually checked out of the hotel really early in the morning, complaining that children in the hallway kept them up all night, even though there was literally no children in the entire hotel.
Oh, that's so freaky.
That's crazy, man.
Oh, I'd be out.
And then in room 428, guests have reported hearing footsteps above them and furniture moving about. But that's actually impossible physically, given the slope of the roof, tour guides say. The real haunt in this room, though, is a friendly cowboy who appears at the corner of the bed.
Oh, that's so fucking scary.
Yeah.
People see his cowboy hat, too.
Yeah. God.
Isn't that weird?
It is weird.
So, yeah, there's a lot of different spirits there.
It's very, very haunted.
A lot going on.
I also wondered, too, you know, how you hear about, you hear about old, you know, sometimes burial grounds and things like that, Native American burial grounds.
Yeah.
And the fact that these Native Americans lived in this area for so long, I wonder if some of just the reason why it's such a paranormal hotspot is because, you know, there's layer upon layer of spirits and energy and all sorts of just craziness happening there.
It's quite possible.
Yeah, maybe there's a huge vortex and stuff. So it's kind of crazy though, man.
Yeah, I'm excited. It's a really cool hotel.
To stay there.
Yeah, I can't wait to go back. I haven't been to Estes in a couple years now, I feel like. Hasn't it been a couple years?
It's been a while since we went there? Yeah, I think it was
since. We used to go to college pretty close to there, so we used to go all the time. But we haven't been in a while, so I'm really excited for this. I think the last time we went there was when we did the tour the last time, which was like
that's when it was.
2016 or 2017, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's a really cool place, though. It's probably, one of the most famous places to visit in all of Colorado, I would say.
Oh, 100%.
And well worth it, too. It's such a cool place. And there's, you know, ghost tours. And they even say the grounds outside are haunted. Like, literally everywhere surrounding the hotel is haunted.
Mm-hmm.
And there's actually, in addition to the hotel, there's, like, the manor. There's a lodge. There's other buildings on the ground, too, that are haunted as well.
Yeah.
It's just a really cool place for paranormal enthusiasts. So
I think it's going to end up
definitely check it
being
out.
Really fun.
Yeah,
interesting.
I'm
to
really
stay
excited.
There. It's going to be an experience. I probably won't sleep. I'm just going to, you know, go into it being like, I'm not going to sleep. I'll just stay up all night. I'll plan to take sunrise pictures or something.
Maybe we should do a Ouija board in there somewhere.
No fucking way, Josh. You're insane. I feel like you low key don't fully believe in this because that's why you want to keep doing it. Because like, it doesn't seem like you're that scared of it. So it makes me wonder if you even fully believe.
Yeah, I mean, I probably
feel like
don't
you're very
fully
skeptical
believe.
Of it in a way.
I am to some extent. I am
because like, you want to try like the scariest things to see if it actually works.
Yeah, I want to have like I'm on this journey in life to have the most profound experiences that I can, and
I think that's understandable.
And I'm super interested in the paranormal in general, but especially like spirits and ghosts and demons and all of that, because part of me does believe that there is this other realm, the spiritual realm where this is all happening. But then part of me is like very much a logical person thinking like, I think the simulation theory is more probable than all of this spiritual stuff sometimes.
Interesting.
And I think that this is all more of an artificial creation by some greater being as opposed to, you know, really complicated and like there's a spiritual world
spiritual
and everything.
Plane, yeah. So you're kind of open to both.
I'm open to both and I'm just trying to figure out which one proves itself to me the most. And
so you want to try a Ouija board and see if you get haunted.
I do. I kind of want to like have some.
I am not using a Ouija board.
An experience like.
Dude,
Or go in the bathroom and red rum.
No.
And try to.
No, I think what you do is the Bloody Mary, right? Don't you say like Bloody Mary? Bloody Mary?
There's Bloody Mary and then there's red rum, like from the movie and stuff, you know, red rum.
I could go for a Bloody Mary right about now, honestly. Sounds pretty good.
But yeah, we'll go ahead and wrap it up there today, guys. We'll link our vlog from the Stanley so you can watch the whole thing if you're interested.
It's old and cringy.
It is old and cringy. I'm sure there's better footage
all
online.
Of our vlogs are so old and cringy, oh my god, but I love them. That's why I made that vlog channel. It's so fun to go back and look from like years ago.
It is But yeah, we'll be back next week with another our final episode of Spooktober.
With the way that it worked this year, you guys got like 5 spooky episodes.
Yeah
which was kind of cool.
Next week, probably the most highly requested topic we've had for a long time.
Yes,
very excited to get into it. Really freaky stories, freakiness happening at this paranormal hotspot.
Freakiness.
But yeah, but until next time, stay safe
and stay woke.
See you guys next time.